Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country but around the world, but also to welcome to the show four exciting and talented personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And seated on my right, we welcome back that actor, comedian, writer, Tony Hawkes, and seated beside him we have our clever veteran player of the game, Clement Freud, and seated on my left, that delightful, engaging comedy performer, Julian Clary, and seated beside him, someone who's never played the game before, so a special welcome to Kate Robbins. But will you please now welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst. She's going to help me annotate the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Shaw Theatre. So we begin the show with Tony Hawkes. Tony, the subject in front of me is Keeping Mum. Will you tell us something about Keeping Mum in this game, starting now?
Keeping Mum in a shed at the bottom of the garden is considered to be unkind by a lot of my friends, but she loves it in there. She has access to the fork and the shovel, the lawnmower. She can play around with them to her heart's content.
And Kate Robbins, you've challenged.
I think you said the twice and in twice.
I know, darling, we don't bother with thes and ins very much.
Oh, you see, I'm a new person. I didn't know that.
Yes. We tried it without that, didn't we? And it was just very hard to get anywhere. Yes.
But you were interrupted, Tony, so you get a point for that, and you keep the subject, which is Keeping Mum, 45 seconds to go, starting now.
If you were not to use the indefinite article, you would eventually be...
Clement Freud challenge.
The is a definite article.
And your point is?
And your point is?
I didn't say that it wasn't.
What have I started?
You're quite right. I was the said that it was the definite article, and you said the indefinite article, and he thought you were making out that the was the indefinite article.
Yes, he made a terrible error, didn't he?
He made an error. He made a statement which is accurate, but...
My sentence began, if you were to use the indefinite article...
Yes.
And then I was interrupted.
It was interrupted. It might have gone on to use the indefinite article in some different way, and a demonstration. Yeah. So, Clement, an incorrect challenge. Tony has another point. He has Keeping Mum. He has 40 seconds, starting now.
You should never keep Mum on this programme, otherwise you won't complete the minute and won't get...
during a new challenge.
He hesitated.
Yes, I call that hesitation. So you have a correct challenge, you have a point for that, you keep the subject, 34 seconds available, starting now.
The more conventional understanding of the phrase keeping mum refers to where you choose not to tell the truth about a certain situation because it's not in the common interest. For example, the Shaw Theatre has never known a full house before, but on this occasion... I'm not going to mention that. I think it's wise to keep mum. You see, it's one of those kind of moral dilemmas. Should we talk about it or should we not?
Clement challenge.
Two shoulds.
Two shoulds.
I shouldn't have.
Clement, a correct challenge. 11 seconds still available. Keeping mum, starting now.
I think mums are absolutely the right people to send out to work. Wake them up early, push them off into a bus, and you will get huge amounts of money at the end of the week.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud, so he has 2 points at the end of that round, so is Tony Hawkes. And Kate and Julian have one each. And Julian, will you take the next round? The subject is Bloomsbury. It's not far from here, but talk on it if you can, starting now.
Bloomsbury is a leafy area of London, once home to the Bloomsbury Set, who were a group of intellectuals and lesbians who were very free with their favours. They wafted around, thinking high-minded ideas and being very disdainful.
Tony Hawkes, your child.
I think there was a slight stumble.
Yes, enough to call it hesitation.
It's a tricky word, disdainful.
That's right. Bloomsbury is with you, Tony. 45 seconds, starting now.
I can remember as a young man watching the musical The Boyfriend by Sandy Wilson, enjoying very much the song All I Want is a Room in Bloomsbury. And
Clement Freud challenge.
All I want is a room somewhere.
No, that was West Side Story.
No. No. That was My Fair Lady.
Oh, yeah.
Tony was right in his statement about being it from the boyfriend, but as you knew the musical as well.
Thank you.
Kate, give
and
me
I'm
another
a newcomer.
Bonus point. Yes, and you're a newcomer. Another bonus point to Kate. You were interrupted, Tony. You keep the subject of Bloomsbury. And there are. Sorry. Jim, but I don't want you to be disturbed or troubled. No. What is it? You have a very troubled look on your face.
Yes, the words went. All I want is a room in Bloomsbury.
Well, I think it's a different song. But you're thinking.
All I want is a room in Bloomsbury. No, yeah. It's a different one.
No, but I can sing the other one. It goes, all I want is a room in Bloomsbury. You're singing that's along. Right. What are you arguing for?
I'm glad you demonstrated your point, Tony. 33 seconds still available. Bloomsbury starting now.
The composer will be delighted that I sang it, as he will get a royalty if he's still alive, which I'm not sure about. Anyway, let's.
Kate, challenge.
Well, was that a deviation, talking about royalties for songs? That's
no,
nothing to do with Bloomsbury.
Compose it, the,
I'm just desperate for a point.
Darling, listen, you've got bonus points. You're way up in the lead.
Oh, great. Okay, I'll shut up.
You're doing very well. Don't worry. Don't worry. No, no. No, it's nice to give Sandy Wilson an extra plug. He composed the song. And Tony, another interruption. 21 seconds, Bloomsbury, starting now.
I can't help wondering if the character in this particular show was ambitious enough. There are so many things to go for. And simply a chamber somewhere in this delightful area is in way lowering your standards to
some. New challenge.
Well, he did trip over a number of words.
I know. What was he talking about? Chambers. And he said, yeah.
Yes.
Lowering your standards to use a chamber. I mean, really, I don't know what he's saying. So, yes, you have a correct challenge. Another point. Julian Bloomsbury's with you. 8 seconds starting now.
I think Bloomsbury is a charming area, and if ever I can save up enough pounds and pennies, I'm going to put all of my belongings into a removal van.
So, at the end of that round, Tony Hawks has got extra points. Julian was speaking as a whistleblower, gained an extra one. Tony Hawks is in the lead, just ahead of the other three. Kate Robbins, will you take the next round? The subject is my best quality. You have so many, but talk about my best quality starting now.
Talking about my best quality is quite difficult, because when in a relationship, one's constantly reminded of one's bad habits, awful traits, etc. However, I would say that mine is the ability to do silly voices like Marge Simpson. I said You see, doing the voice through it.
Yep. Right, so you're right. But I've a little tip, as you haven't played before. Just keep going. They might overlook it, or they might not notice it.
Yes, don't say, oh, I did
No, that's right. Right. Tony, you interrupted.
Yes, repetition of
Yes. So you have my best quality, Tony. 41 seconds starting now.
My best quality is my stunning radio looks. It really is a tremendous advantage to be so handsome on that particular medium. And I exploit it to the full. That's why I get asked on this show. It's not for my ability to talk without hesitating, deviating, or doing anything else I might feel inclined to do. It simply is because of my visage, which I think the audience here will agree is simply delightful. But my other quality, which I...
Julian Carrot.
Repetition of simply.
Yes.
Yes. You did say simply before, yes. And the audience were listening too, because I was like, ooh. Julian, you have a correct challenge. You have my best quality, and you have 13 seconds starting now.
I was once going to start buying a flat from the woman that plays the part of Pauline Fowler in EastEnders, and she said the carpet's all top-notch, which is her way of saying it was best quality. In my opinion, you get what you...
Oh, Clement, you challenge us with this event.
It's not my best quality.
It was best quality carpet. That's what she was saying.
Yes, and best quality is on the thing, so you haven't got to keep on saying my best quality. Mm-hmm. You can take the words from the subject and use them in a different context if you
really
will. So you get another point for speaking almost as the whistle went. You get a point for speaking when the whistle did go. So you finish up with 2 points in that particular moment.
Thank you.
A round of applause. And With those points, Julian, you move forward. You're now equal with Tony Hawks in the lead, followed by Kate and Clement, who are also equal in second place. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is the elbow. Tell us something about the elbow in this game, starting now.
The elbow. I think in view of your latest ruling, I should talk about the neck. It is just much more convenient. I am...
Julian Challenge.
He's deviating if he's talking about the neck.
Yes, yes. And the elbow is with you now, Julian. 49 seconds, starting now.
The elbow is a very important feature of the human anatomy. Without it, how would we scratch our heads? How would we reach our mouths?
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of how would we.
Yes, or how would we. So elbow is back with you, Clement, and you have 41 seconds, starting now.
It's a joint by the humerus. An elbow is. Also, colloquially, an elbow is used for pushing someone out.
Kate Challenge.
You did say elbow twice.
It's on the card, darling. You're allowed to use the words individually, as I said, or collectively.
I didn't think he could say elbow twice when he was talking about elbow.
No, you can say it within reason as many times as you wish, but not too many, and then you would be penalised. If he'd said it five times, you could have had it.
OK.
No, he can't say neck again, though, can he?
No.
I'll get my coat.
I'm listening out for that.
Right. So, another point to you, Clement. You have the 31 seconds for the elbow starting now.
Elbow, 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 elbow.
Yeah? Surely an example of an unreasonable amount of time.
He said five times, and I have just said four.
Yeah, but if you add the other two you said before, you're over your elbow quota.
Clement, as you did only say five times, and four times plus the other one...
I'm going to get the benefit of the doubt.
No, are you going to have the benefit of the doubt? So you have the benefit of the doubt, but don't say elbow. What happens if he says the elbow now? Because you go, it's an interesting situation. You have 28 seconds starting now.
Between your hand and your shoulder, there is this particular part of your body, a bone of which is called funny. I'm never quite sure why, because it's extremely painful.
Right, Kate, you challenge.
I'm sure funny...
Yes, he repeated it
he
before.
Repeated
didn't
he repeated it before. That before when you were talking about humorous.
You were talking about your funny bone. No, you didn't. You said humorous, didn't you? I'm very sorry.
You were on my side then, Nicholas. You were on my side.
I know, I was trying to help you.
And then you've got me all excited.
I now got you all excited, and I messed it up, and Clement's got another point. So, anyway, he loves that. So it's 17 seconds, the elbow with you, Clement, starting
Leave
now.
Leave this establishment. Is a way of showing somebody the E-L-B-O-W, a word which I'm not allowed to use again, although it appears on the card. I'm not worried about this. I'm perfectly happy. Life goes on. The whistle should blow quite soon.
So Clement Freud, with a number of points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's now equal with Julian Clary in the lead, one ahead of Tony Hawks and one or two ahead of Kate Robbins. Tony, we're back with you. Will you take the next round? The subject is blue plaques, or plaques, I don't know which way you like to pronounce it. To some people, plaque is only what you get in your teeth. But anyway, you take the pronunciation whichever way you like, and there are 60 seconds, of course, starting now.
In the not-too-distant future, there will be a blue plaque outside a house in southwest London saying, Tony Hawks lived here. Prime Minister 2012-18. Thank goodness he overthrew the wicked dictatorship run by Nicholas Parsons. This is a horrific thought of the future, which will never happen, but...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of future.
Yes, there's some time in the future you started off with those
phrases.
Yes, so, Clement, another point to you. 37 seconds, blue plaques or plaques, starting now.
I always wanted to have a blue plaque outside my house saying, back in 10 minutes. Seems to me to be much more relevant than to mention your name and the date of your birth.
Julian Challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, I would agree with the hesitation, Julian. So you have a point, you have the subject, blue plaques or plaques, and therefore... 25 seconds, starting now.
Sorry, how many seconds?
25 seconds. Wait a minute, no, no. 25 seconds, starting now.
As you wander around London, it's delightful to look upwards and see the blue plaques and count them as you go along.
Tony Challenge.
If you're on a double-decker bus, you're looking down on
them. I don't travel by bus.
But he wasn't on a double-decker bus, obviously. So he was looking up at that time, so he was quite within the rules of just a minute. I think it was quite logical what you said, but you don't always travel on the bus, you sometimes travel on foot, don't you?
Yes, and but he was implying that you always look up at these.
And sometimes you have to look straight ahead to see them.
I don't think exactly my point. You know, it's an outrage to talk about looking up at them. I'm upset by the fact that...
Depending where you be, one of the great exponents of this game, Kenneth Williams, has got a blue plaque. It's very high on the block of flats where he lived in Portland Place.
Yes, but if you were in a helicopter, you'd be looking down on it.
Very few people take helicopters to look for blue plaques.
There only needs to be one for my argument to hold up.
No, and there only needs to be one for my argument to say that Julian's got any correct challenge.
I don't think I'm going to get this one, am I?
No, you're not. Definitely not. And you have 17 seconds, Julian, on blue plaques starting now.
I do often pass by Kenneth Williams' former abode and look up and see the blue plaque.
Yes.
A repetition of look up.
Because you looked up, unfortunately, yes.
I know.
Right. Sony, you've got blue plaques or plaques, and there are 12 seconds starting now.
It is a sign, I suppose, that you've lived a very full, active, successful life if a blue plaque posthumously is placed somewhere on your building below someone, obviously, who was flying...
So, Tony Hawk speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point and others in the round. He's equal with Jemmet Freud in second place. They're one behind Julian Clary, a few ahead of Kate Robbins. And Julian, your turn to begin. The subject, dim sum. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Dim sum, as far as I understand it, is a kind of soupy arrangement, sort of a dumpling that you eat and swallow, but it won't fill you up.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
I think he said sort of twice.
I think I sort of did.
Yeah. He sort of stumbled.
I think he stumbled into a sort of a second time. So, Tony, you've got sharp ears there, and you had 52 seconds. Tell us something about dim sum, starting now.
2 + 3 = 6. This is an example of a dim sum. Someone who hasn't paid attention properly during mathematics at school, which is something I always did. Then obviously went off to the Chinese restaurant for a dim sum, a dumpling of sorts, never really understood why people buy it, very dull for the palate, something that won't really...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of something.
Yes, there were two somethings there, I'm afraid. So, Clement, you have a correct challenge. You've got dim sum, 28 seconds starting now.
If you buy a really expensive car... It has lots of buttons and pushers which make the car go faster or more slowly. And there's one which illuminates the headlights and another dim sum.
It was very inventive, but it was a bit of a struggle, wasn't it, again? But Tony, you challenged first.
Yes, well, I think there was slight hesitation. I was intrigued by the pushers that he has on his car.
I was wondering how the pushers made the car go.
But we let that go.
I suppose the pedals could be called pushers if you're not a very experienced driver. 12 seconds. Sorry, 12 seconds with you, Tony, on dim sum, starting now.
Many's the time I go out with a group of chums to a eatery where you can enjoy this delightful food laid out...
Kate Challenge.
I don't believe you do go out with your friends and enjoy dim sum. You just don't look like the sort of person who does. Is that a challenge?
So you think he's deviating?
I just don't think he eats dim sum. He's pretending just to talk and just get more points
than me.
Actually,
sad thing is, Kate, whether he eats it or not, he's still...
I know, but I need a point!
I give you a bonus point because obviously the audience enjoyed hearing from you. And it was so utterly erroneous, I think you deserve some recognition. Tony, four seconds on dim sum, starting now.
If Kate Robbins is quick, I will repeat something. And...
Kate, were you quick enough?
Yes.
All the lights came on, but I don't know which one was yours.
Yes, it was me.
Oh, well, that's...
Yes. Yes.
So you've got 2 seconds on dim sum,
that's
starting
That's what I
now.
Want, 2 seconds.
Quickly, Kate, quickly!
Dim sum! Try feeding...
Quickly. Well, Kate, with her two seconds of silence...
I didn't know you'd started the clock, you see. I'll get you.
I always say start now.
Sorry.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They all let you go. And you've got your point for not speaking when the whistle went. And you've moved forward rapidly. You're still in fourth place, but it's been a rapid... But don't worry, my darling. It's difficult when you haven't played it before and you've got these three experienced players up against you. And, Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, beer money. Tell us something about beer money in this game, starting now.
Beer money is a Victorian name for a tip for gratuity. At Christmas, you gave someone beer money, saying, here are some pounds or shillings or pence. Go out.
Julian Challenge.
Repetition of or.
Yes, I think three successive ors so
yeah,
rapidly.
That's
yes.
Right.
Pounds. We don't want too many ors on this program.
There were two, actually.
Yes. Well, it was enough, anyway. Julian, 50 seconds on beer money, starting now.
My understanding of the origins of this phrase comes from the miners who would take their wages home on a Friday night and their wives would hand back a small amount of money, which would be called beer money. They would then go down to the local pub, be it called the Queen's Legs or the Head and Chickens.
A bit of a hesitation?
There was a bit of a hesitation, yes, and because he was searching for some more pub names. And you've got 32 seconds to tell us something about beer money, starting now.
Lager vouchers, sherry coupons, beer money. These are the things that we are paid by the BBC to get.
Clement Challenge.
Can't say BBC.
It's repetition of B. It's a tough game, Kate. It's a tough game.
It's a very tough game.
Yeah. But you're doing manfully, no, womanly. In a male enclave.
I didn't think you were so cruel, Clement.
I'm not.
But he is keen. Right, 24 seconds. Beer money, back with you, Clement, starting now.
I think Kate was absolutely right.
Your challenge?
Yeah.
What's your challenge?
She was too slow to challenge.
So you're giving it back to her.
I hesitated.
You're going to be very generous in your advice. I know what you're doing, but I want the listeners to know as well. So you're giving it back to Kate?
I don't know.
Julian, you've challenged.
I thought I'd just step into the breach and clear things up for the listener.
Right. I think he's passing it back to Kate for her to talk more about beer money. 21 seconds, starting now.
Ale.
Clement challenged money.
Hesitation.
Kate, you've got another point. He's been very generous.
Yes, he's been very generous.
Yes,
he's,
after
you.
What you said about him, it being keen, you see, he's generous.
Shall I continue with beer money?
Will I say now?
Have you said now?
No, not yet. I was just chatting to you and sort of mildly flirting on radio, which is quite fun. And I have to mention that fact because the listeners can't see it. Beer money is still with you, Kate. 20 seconds, starting now.
Beer money is the most important type of wages you can earn in the life that I lead anyway, because I do like a drink at the end of the day, and I like to drink lager.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of like.
You liked too much. I like to like it at the end of the day, and I like to drink lager. Right, 12 seconds with you, Tony. Beer money, starting now.
Most of us do this show for beer money. The British Broadcasting Corporation doesn't pay huge amounts for appearing on this. Most...
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
I get a lot of money.
I think you'll find it's all relative, Clement.
No. Knowing that we all get the same, I know that it isn't a lot of money, but it may be a lot of money, but I knowing your standard of living, I'm sure it isn't a lot of money, but the audience did enjoy your remarks, so you get a bonus point for that. Tony, you keep the subject, beer money, and there are, there's only 1 second to go, starting now.
Laura Kennedy.
So as we move into the final round, let me give you what the score is. Kate Robbins is trailing a little in fourth place, but she's not far behind Julian Clary, who is one or two points behind Clement Freud, and he's 1 point behind Tony Hawkes, who's at present in the lead. And Tony, it's your turn to begin. Oh, gosh, this is going to give some problems, isn't it? Anti-disestablishmentarianism. Will you talk on anti-disestablishmentarianism for 60 seconds, if you can? In fact, 40 seconds will just do for the word, actually. Anyway, the time starts now.
One of the advantages of having been given the subject anti-disestablishmentarianism is indeed the length of time it takes to say anti-disestablishmentarianism. Were I, like Clement, to exploit the fact that you can repeat what is written on the card many times, anti-disestablishment...
Clement Chant.
Repetition of times.
Yes, you did say too many times. Because they enjoyed it. Tony, right, Clement, you have anti-disestablishmentarianism and there are 42 seconds available starting now.
I remember being told a long time ago that anti-disestablishmentarianism is the longest word in the English language. It is quite untrue. There are many longer. But anti-disestablishmentarianism is really wholly meaningless. Anti means against. I am happy about that. Disestablishment is getting away from the church and the queen.
Kate, you challenge.
I'm sorry, Clement, you did hesitate then.
He did, yes, he did. So, Kate, you've got a correct challenge, and you've got to try and talk, with little experience in this game, for 15 seconds on anti-disestablishmentarianism starting now.
You are getting to the disestablishment... Oh, heck!
Right. I have this difficult decision. Two lights came on at once. I think, Julian's, your came on first, a second before Clement's, and it is anti-disestablishmentarianism with you for... another 12 seconds, if you can, starting now.
The poll tax rioters, in my opinion, are
That's what they hoped would happen, obviously.
I was
obviously,
laughing too much to actually press my buzzer.
Right, fine. Tony, you've got the 70 back, you've got 8 seconds, you've got anti-disestablishmentarianism starting now.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism, said in a Yorkshire accent, would sound roughly like this. Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
So let me give you the final situation. Kate Robbins, who has not played the game before, did magnificently. She finished in a very strong fourth position. She was only 3 points behind Julian Clary, who gives such good value as always. He was 2 points behind, 3 points behind Clement Freud. But 2 points ahead was Tony Hawk. So we say, Tony, this week you are our winner. And just means for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Tony Hawkes, Julian Clary, Kate Robbins and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score, and she's blown her whistle with such delicacy every time the 60 seconds elapsed. We thank our producer, director, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this lovely game, and we're very grateful to this delightful audience here in the Shaw Theatre in the Euston Road for coming along to cheer us on our way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.